Are patriotism and religion dying in America? A shocking new poll suggests yes.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. This is Logan Seculo. Will Haynes joining us as well, executive producer of Seculo on today's show. We're going to talk about this new poll that came out from the Wall Street Journal this morning. But before I do that, we are based in the Nashville, Tennessee area. And as we're going live, there is an active school shooting at a Christian school. One very close to where my kids go to school, thankfully, for my family, but not for these families, not where my kids go to school. But this kind of ties into our topic here. This is all happening right now as we speak. So there's not a whole lot of verifiable reporting other than it looks like four people at least so far have passed away from this. And this is an ongoing thing that keeps happening in our country. We see it all the time. And when we look back now at this poll that suggests that compared to how things were in 1998, the importance of patriotism and the importance of faith and religion in society has plummeted. You can't help. I mean, we're looking at these numbers, Will, and we're talking about, and I'm sorry if I feel a little off balance today, guys. This is happening live and in our area, so it is pretty important. But 1998, when they did this poll, they said about 70% of the country deemed themselves as patriotic and cared about patriotism. That is now at 38%. And when it comes to faith, that is just at religion. That was at 62% in 1998. It's now down to 39%. And that's for a wide swath. That's 50-50. They said 50% or so, or 40-60 of Republicans.
About 44% registered as Democrats in this poll, and about 38% said that they were Republicans. And then the middle, which is 18%, said that they were independent. So it's a pretty, I think, the breakdown there is pretty fair across the spectrum of American politics.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to be talking about that specifically in this discussion of where patriotism, where faith lies right now in this country. And I'd love to hear your thoughts at 1-800-684-3110. It doesn't seem like, depending on who is in charge, that it really changes this trajectory. You would think that at least maybe the left would be more of a on the side of patriotism right now as Joe Biden and the Biden administration is in office and been in office for a couple of years. Some people see those terms as nationalistic. They see them as conservative if they say they're patriotic or if they said a faith. Now, you can see those numbers are pretty linked close together, faith and patriotism, what that all means. I'd love to get your thoughts at 1-800-684-3110. There's a lot more details in this poll as well, asking a lot about even things like should companies be getting, you know, private companies be getting involved in political issues and social issues. Guess what? 65% or so of these of people polled said no, they shouldn't be. They should be selling their product, not getting involved in politics. That's no shock to me, but maybe it is to the people who are listening. And look, again, we are going to take your phone calls about this. I know this isn't necessarily the most, you know, breaking news item that we could talk about, but I think it gets to sort of the moral and social crux that we are at as a society. And as a lot of you are listening on Christian radio and a lot of people here are of faith who listen and watch this show. So when there is news breaking that a Christian school this morning, as we're speaking right now, in our local area, in our market, you know, very close to where my children go to school, where a lot of people's kids go to school, has a mass shooting where four people are dead. What that means for the moral and social decline, essentially, of our nation. And I'd love to hear from you about it because, folks, right now, this stuff shows up in your backyard, it starts to become real serious. And it starts to become real. And, again, if we seem a little out of it, that is why. We're all dealing with it, all of us here, pretty much everyone I'm looking at, almost everybody in our studio are our parents of young kids. We're going to be seeing not only this poll, look, I mean, polls can move up and down, but there's a spiritual rot happening in our country. And if we don't see it soon, we're going down. We got to find hope in this. We got to find a place to correct this course, not just in faith, not just in patriotism in our lives in general. This stuff just can't keep happening. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. Extreme abortion advocates are not just going to give up, and neither are we. I thank you for making this victory possible, and I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
We now have a state-by-state fight. Your support of the ACLJ makes a huge difference. Any amount you donate to the ACLJ this month, we get a matching gift, which means, as we've said before, if you donate $20, we get $40. You donate $100, we get $200. We encourage you to do it.
Welcome back to Secula. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, talking about this Wall Street Journal poll that came out showing the massive decline in people, a shocking, really, decline of people that say that faith and patriotism are even important to their lives and what that means. And there's a lot of breakdown on what that means, whether that, I mean, they specifically reference things like, did conservatives change the way you consider the word patriotism? You're also talking about a lot of people who are under 30. What's interesting is that's people who have not lived yet through a 9/11 or uniting moment that really did change. They've seen political divide and faith divide for their entire lives. They have seen essentially just, you got to think about this. If you're 30 years old right now, I'm 37. So if you're 30 years old right now, when you started even paying attention to what was happening in the world, it was the Obama era. You're not talking about before that. You're not even talking about George W. Bush era. You're really talking about, for most things, you're talking about the Obama era, which was filled with both a lot of hope and a lot of vitriol and a lot of, for legitimate reasons. I'm not saying legitimate reasons. The Tea Party movement, everything that came out of there. Then you had, after Obama, obviously you had the Trump era. And then now coming out of that, you have Biden, and things don't seem to be getting better. So people under 30 are dealing with core values and what those mean to them and how that suggests. And look, I do want to address, as I brought it up in the first segment, that here in Nashville, in our local area, there's been a shooting, a school shooting at a Christian school. At least we know now that this is no longer an active situation, that the shooter right. is dead. So thankfully it's over. That doesn't mean it's any less real for these families. It looks like multiple people have passed on. There's a lot of people who are currently dealing with the situation. I know a lot of people trying to get their kids and all that. But again, that kind of speaks to everything that's happening. It's not just about this situation or a school shooting or it's not about a poll. It's about a sort of decay in hope and seeing if there is any future for this country and what that could look like. I was listening to President Trump speak yesterday or Saturday, wherever it was, in Waco, and he kept calling it the last chance or something like that. I forgot the words. And it was a bit alarming that these are sort of the words that we are that we're using right now. And it does feel that way. I'm not saying it doesn't. I don't want you to think that I'm not saying that this isn't a time of crisis. The final battle is what he kept calling it. This is the final battle. Obviously kind of evoking
apocalyptic biblical imagery.
Biblical terminology. But folks, if we're going to start talking like that, then we have to do something to start addressing issues and changing people's hearts, and changing people's minds. It's not just about politics. It's not just about religion, for that matter. It's about, like I said, a rot that's happening in the soul of this country, and we're seeing it now on paper. As the Wall Street Journal puts out this article saying, here's the things that people find important and not important. We're going to talk about other topics as well, by the way. We're all a little discombobulated, and I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't think there's a reason not to be, because this news that came out literally a minute before we broke on the air, my wife called me. We are going to talk with Rick Grinnell coming up in the next segment as well. We may talk about this. We may talk about another topic, but that's going to come. A lot of you are calling as well. Let's go ahead. I'm going to take a call, just kind of reset for a little bit. Let's go to Don, who's calling in Connecticut on line one. Don, thanks for calling.
Hi, how are you today?
Thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Well, as I was expressing that, I think that the lack of spiritualism, faith, religion, whatever, in this country is directly related to the political divide. I think that there's a lot of people that still have faith in God. They still have faith in this country. They still have patriotism, but they're afraid to express it because of the negative connotation and being labeled conservative, whack job, conspiracy theorist, whatever the case may be. And the bottom line is and myself included, I refrain sometimes from posting things because I'm afraid of the backlash. And I think that really has more to do with these polls and everything else. But I see the decline in our country. I see it going on. I'm afraid to put my 7-year-old in school. I'm homeschooling her right now and working part-time. And it's a scary situation. And I think that what we need to do is we need to get on our face before God and ask for forgiveness and ask for protection for this country and to really start, really seriously getting back to our roots.
Right. Don, I couldn't agree with you more. And my wife and I, we were just speaking just minutes ago, and specifically that was the question that came up. It makes you, when these kind of things happen, and not just looking at these polling, but school shootings and everything that's happening, again, sort of this overall heaviness that's surrounded the country for the last handful of years, you do start questioning everything. You start questioning your decisions, whether you should be sending your kids to school. How, is it safe? Are you making the right decisions for your family? And are we making the right decisions for our country? And you said that that's tied to the conservative part of this. I think the numbers kind of show that, which is that, was it 39 and 38%?
Yeah.
You're only talking about a poll. And that's what these pollings, they do only poll about, this one was a little over 1,000 people. But, 50-50 of conservatives and liberals. But 39% said, I believe, that they were, friendly to religion. 38% said they were friendly to patriotism.
Yeah, and let me read the question that was presented to the poll respondents, because I think that is important when you could hear someone say, like, oh, patriotism isn't important. Well, was it phrased as, do you believe America is the greatest country in the world? Like that, yes, it could be, oh, it's skewed. But the question actually is pretty revealing at the respondents, because it says, the heading is values, and it says, now we would like to ask you some questions about the American character, that is, about our values and who we are. How important are each of the values to you personally? Would you say it's very important, somewhat important, not that important, or not important at all? So they asked, and were just given the term patriotism. How important is that value to you? And that's where very important only responded with 38%. A belief in God only responded with 48%, and religion only 39%, which is, as we mentioned before, a drastic turnaround from 1998, which was the first year that the Wall Street Journal conducted this poll. They conducted every year to get kind of a sense of where people are. And I think it does tell you a lot as well. You mentioned there was no real galvanizing moment for the younger generation. But 1998, when they first put this poll out, that was the Clinton administration. Yeah. It was a divided time. There was a lot going on.
Yeah.
But patriotism, I don't know if people would think back of the late 90s as the most patriotic era. Yeah. You really think post 9/11 is when there was this
lighthearted era, though.
That's fair.
It was a very overly commercialized era. You think about 1998. It was a flashy, there are no worries kind of fun era for a lot of people.
Right.
9/11 changed that. Do you think that COVID would have been that unifying time? COVID would have been that time that we got together as a country and as a world. The difference is that got politicized within 30 days. The first 20 days, you may remember, there being all of these big unifying moments. We got to stay together. We got to do all these things. We're going to reach out. We're going to put out sing-alongs. And we're going to be together as a country. then all of a sudden started getting politicized and more politicized and more politicized and being probably the most divided political topic of our modern time. And I think history will show it as a very pivotal moment in our lives that I don't think any of us have really reckoned with yet. We really haven't. We haven't reckoned with the impact that it had on our kids, impact that it had on adults, that we all went through a lot of emotional and mental strain through all of that. And we're all just coming out of it now. I mean, really, you're talking about the fog is just starting to lift now on what happened to us from 2020 to 2020, into 2022, maybe even headed into 2023. We're just now getting there, people. And you can't help if people look at this and go, yeah, I don't really feel that galvanized my country. Look around you right now. Do you feel like there's unification? Do you feel proud of your country right now? I think there's a lot of people who, sadly, who are probably very patriotic in terms of military support, and they support the American values, who even in conservatism are looking at it going, yeah, I can't say that I'm getting behind this right now.
Well, especially
because they're seeing China, they're seeing Russia, they're seeing hate being spewed from both sides and infighting, and it isn't healthy.
And you see the corruption as well,
yeah,
that we have been fighting against and is real. There is real corruption in the government.
Right.
When you see some of the institutions that are supposed to be working for you, not working for you, but working against your belief systems, then it does give you pause. And it does, I would say, it could take that very important number down for some people that are deeply patriotic, but maybe not patriotic because of what the government is doing. Like, the word may not mesh in the same way. They still believe in the American values, in the American Constitution. And unfortunately, the institutions that are in place, a lot of these bureaucracies, are lessening that faith and confidence in the government.
Yeah. Hey, coming up in the next segment, we're going to have Rick Grinnell. We're going to keep talking about this, and we'll also discuss some other things with him. But we'll see what we get into with Rick coming up. If you have any questions or comments, I'd love to hear from you. I see a lot of great comments coming in on Rumble and through Facebook and YouTube. But I would appreciate it if you would give me a call, because I'd like to have this discussion one-on-one with you. 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. We're also headed towards the end of our matching challenge here at the ACLJ. If you can support the work, we'd appreciate it. Go to aclj.org. All donations are effectively doubled. That means if you give $10, it becomes $20, so on and so on and so on. Again, covering a lot of news, covering what's happening in the world, but also discussing sort of the rot that may be happening in our country, what we can do. Where's the hope to turn this around? I want to hear from you. 1-800-684-3110. We'll be back with more on Seculo in just a minute. If you're watching online, make sure that you are either following or subscribing on whatever platform that you're using right now, and tell your friends. We'll be right back.
After nearly 50 years, Roe versus Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our 3-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. Extreme abortion advocates are not just going to give up, and neither are we. I thank you for making this victory possible, and I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
We now have a state-by-state fight. Your support of the ACLJ makes a huge difference. Any amount you donate to the ACLJ this month, we get a matching gift, which means, as we've said before, if you donate $20, we get $40. You donate $100, we get $200. We encourage you to do it.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to Seculo. We have Rick Grinnell joining us. Rick, we're going to move our topic here in a second to what's going on in Russia and get your expert advice on this. But I wanted your thoughts on the topic that we addressed at the top of this show, which is that the Wall Street Journal put out a poll saying essentially historic lows for people who consider themselves patriotic and also people that consider themselves almost linked numbers wise with people who consider themselves religious or people of faith. As this is happening, we just went on the air. We're in Nashville. Most people know that. And there was a school shooting at a Christian school that just ended. Thankfully it was over. But this is just happening as we're breaking on the air. We're seeing this sort of spiritual and American, rut that feels like that we are in as a nation. And clearly an administration doesn't change that. It's not like all of a sudden people looked at Joe Biden, the liberals, because this was 50-50 split, and said, yes, now I feel engaged. I feel patriotic now. It feels like there has been such a decline. And it's shocking. It's not that shocking when you look around, because I think a lot of us feel it right now. We feel this sort of heaviness. But as someone who deals with politics, someone I also know as a faith, I just wanted to kind of get your feeling on this poll. And what can we do? I mean, that's why I start looking at what can we do to help kind of turn this around to where people don't feel this way. And it's hard. I know we feel a little discombobulated right now. We're dealing with big breaking news here in our local area, and we all have young kids. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on that. Then we'll move to talking about foreign policy and what's going on.
Well, I love that you start by saying, what can we do? Because I think that's really the first thing is we do have a responsibility. We can't be surprised that over the last 20 years, our schools have been teaching our kids to hate America and to not concentrate on, the basics. I mean, you look at test scores for our kids today, and it's atrocious. We've allowed this to happen in our society. We've allowed our schools to become terrible. And I'm reminded of this conversation that I had with a world leader who once said to me, Rick, I don't know why you guys are so surprised in America that you have a generation of young people that hate your country. You've been teaching them to hate your country. You can't be surprised that all of a sudden they grow up and a 20-year-old has been indoctrinated for all these years. So I think the solution is we've got to fight back. We've got to have people who don't just sit and listen to our broadcast, but actually do something. Some people listening may have to run for school board. You have to get involved. You have to not sit back and watch. I'll finish with this, Logan, is that, when you look at first and second generation Americans, they love this country. The people who come here from another place who have experienced fascism or totalitarianism, they're at the front of the line saying that this is the great country. Our problem is with sixth, seventh generation white liberals who literally want to teach our kids to think that this place that we call America is a horrible place. It's the greatest country. And if you don't know that, you should travel more.
I think that's a valid point. I want to kind of throw it back when we say, when we're talking about first and second generation, we're talking about not just like your grandparents, we're talking about first and second generation people that are coming to this country right now. We're seeing that over and over. We're seeing that growing. That's why we're seeing the Hispanic community really rallying around a lot of conservative values. We're seeing a lot more people who were unexpected to be, maybe by the left, unexpected to be what you consider American patriots. And you're right. We are seeing that in the schools. I think we all have to really address what that looks like moving forward. I mean, I just got a phone, like I said, with my wife, and that was the discussion point we had was now we've had, we know what goes on in our schools. We go to a great school, so nothing against them. But then we know there's, this active shooter that's, a few miles from their school. We go, it makes you rethink everything. It makes you rethink, when you see these polls, it makes you rethink how you're raising your kids. And that's a very good point, because like we said, a lot of this is for people who are under 30. So we're talking about people who did not live through that big unifying kind of 9/11 type moment. And then COVID was not that either. COVID became highly politicized pretty much immediately when it felt like it could have been that united moment. But let's pivot a little. We got a few minutes. Let's give people a little break from maybe my breakdown here and discuss what's going on, Will, internationally.
That's right, Rick. So over the weekend, Putin announced that he was going to station tactical nuclear weapons in Belarus, which happens to border a NATO member, Poland. And this comes off the heels of his summit with President Xi from China. What message is Putin sending here?
we've watched the political crisis in Belarus for a while, and it shouldn't surprise anyone who's really been watching that Putin is really pushing hard for as many allies as he can. And he's, you know, look, he's got energy issues over on people, which was why we were very concerned about having the Nord Stream 2 pipeline into Germany, into Europe, because once the Russians, once somebody like Putin gets leverage over you on energy, they can then say things like, hey, we're going to put our nukes in your country. And Belarus doesn't feel like they have much of a choice. And this is, you know, a terrible sign. We've certainly, you know, we need NATO members to pay their fair share. We need NATO members to be good NATO members before we start expanding this umbrella. I'm very concerned that the first reaction we have from so many European countries that are not paying their fair share is to say, oh, let's extend the NATO umbrella. Let's include other countries. And that just means the U.S. taxpayer has to pay more and more and more. And I think we've got to put an end to this and say, look, we didn't envision there would be a war in Europe. But there certainly was under Barack Obama, and there was now under Joe Biden. And you've got to ask yourself, why did it skip Donald Trump? Why wasn't there a war? Why didn't Putin go on the offense during the Donald Trump years? And it's silly to think, oh, because he was getting everything he wanted, which is some people on the left. It means that he knows exactly what he can do to get away with this. And it's weakness.
You did bring up there was that time where it jumped between the administrations, and you talked about the members of NATO not paying their fair share. But just quickly here, as we kind of started talking about hope for the future in the beginning of this segment, I did want to ask you, how can we hold the administration's feet to the fire on this and try to stem some of this while we know at least a couple years left with this administration?
So, again, I think people have got to get involved. You can't just expect somebody else to do something and then expect our country to be saved. I mean, we're watching it really dissolve, and it's heartbreaking. So I would say get involved, figure out a way to support organizations or people who are tough, who are pushing back. I mean, clearly the weakness from the Biden administration has to be outed. We need transparency to show the American public just how weak they are. And that means aggressive organizations and people support politicians who are holding them to account, send them some money, say some prayers for them, support them where you can, but also for organizations like ACLJ, where we're demanding transparency and we're using the power of the courts and the legal process to do it.
Rick, appreciate you coming on today and discussing this, and also just that poll and everything that's happening across our nation. We appreciate always when you come in and discuss these important topics that I think a lot of people need to hear. And hey, a ton of you have called. I'm going to take a lot of these calls coming up in the next segment or two. So if you're on hold, please stay on hold. If you haven't called in, we have one line open, 1-800-684-3110. If for some reason you're in one of those unfortunate stations that doesn't get us for the full hour, one, tell the station that you want us for the full hour. Number two, you can find us broadcasting live, or if you're hearing this later, you can check the archived episode at aclj.org. Broadcasting live right now on Rumble. Search for ACLJ. You'll see probably on the homepage right now. So go find us on Rumble and on YouTube as well. We're going to be taking a lot of your calls. I want to hear from you about this sort of nationwide rot that seems to be happening and what we can do to turn this around. I don't want to only be doom and gloom here. We're going to talk about some paths to hope. We'll hopefully have that for you coming up here in the next segment. We'll be right back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.